I'm Diana Taurasi, the Phoenix Mercury, and I love listening to the Female Field Guide.
Hi, my name is Luke Robitaille from the LA Kings, and I love listening to Female Field Guide.
Hey, this is Jason Wright, 7-year NFL veteran. Love listening to Female Field Guide. Jazz, you got it going on.
I mean, there's such a huge relational gap with men and women when it comes to sports. When you listen to me, ladies, I want to bridge that gap. If you can have a meaningful conversation with the sports fans in your life, my job is done.
Number one radio talk show, Female Field Guide.
You're listening to Female Field Guide with Jasmine George.
Broadcasting live from the Mahogany Lounge.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. 8 p.m. Sunday night. Where are you? You Blog Talk Radio, baby, Female Field Guide, a woman's cheat sheet to sports and relationships, breaking rules down so that you can step your game up. I know that's right. Thank you so much for joining me once again, another fantastic Sunday night, Blog Talk Radio, Jazzy Fizzle on the ones and twos. Welcome so much, loved ones. We've got a wonderful show for you tonight. Ladies, I truly want to get you right. Learn, laugh, and love the game, baby. For all these first-time listeners, had a great week, met a lot of new people. So thank you so much for visiting me, carving out a couple hours of your night to be here with Jazzy. Who the heck am I? Why does this chick have her own radio show? Well, I'm a player. I'm a coach. I'm a student who loves the game, baby. Now listen, if you give me about 15 minutes to stretch, the jump shot is still amazing. Okay, maybe 20 minutes. I am the sports editor for Prominence Magazine. We've got a fantastic fall issue, the Power Players issue. I had a chance to interview Mr. Darrell Wright for the Golden State Warriors. Miles Craigwell, NFL-turned-rugby sensation. Pick up this issue, ProminenceMagazine.com. Subscribe to the print or online issue. You can call me Professor, baby. That's right. I teach sports psychology, ethnic, cultural, and gender issues in sports as well. American Sports University. You better know that's right. I am the anchor for the new show, Game Time. It started in September. I'm having a blast. Shout out to Caitlin. Shout out to Corey and the entire Inland Empire Media Group covering high school prep sports, San Bernardino. I'm having a blast. You know you can contact me in a plethora of ways because I love you. Because I love you. Facebook.com/Female Field Guide. Twitter @ Female Field Guide. Leave the E off a guide. I know. Technically, it's Female Field Guild. But listen, that's what Mr. Twitter says. @ Female Field Guide. Leave the E off of guide. I've got a Tumblr, baby. Shout out to my fantastic intern, Ashley, who has been holding the Tumblr down. Let me tell you that. FemaleFieldGuide.tumblr, TUMBLR.com. It's good, y'all. YouTube.com/FemaleFieldGuide. We've got some fantastic videos, interviews already on the website. And, of course, more to come because we've got a dope week coming up. If you have any questions, comments, you just want to know more about the show, info@FemaleFieldGuide.com. And also, ladies and gents, there's been some people that have emailed, that have texted, that have Facebook and was like, Jazz, I love what you're doing, but I get kind of nervous. I get really shy, and I don't want to call in the show. Leave your comments Female Field Guide Message Hotline, 909-276-7132, 909-276-7132. The most inventive, the funniest, the most intriguing and interesting comments and messages, we play on the air. Did you know that I am the first blog talk radio host to have my own phone app? No, it's not April Fool's. It's real life. You better know that's right. Shout out to ZenForce Media for designing such a dope app. And actually, I just found out that because of my app, there are a few more blog talk radio hosts and hostess that now have their own app, courtesy of ZenForce Media. Coach Carson will be talking to him a little later on. You know, you can download my show on podcast. You know what I mean? Go to the iTunes Marketplace and the iTunes Store. And not only can you download my app, it's free for your iPhone and iPad. But hey, go ahead and download all my shows. Put it on a CD. You know what I mean? You're driving into work and you're like, ooh, I miss those cheekbones. Well, they miss you too. Have no fear. You can listen to my Super Bowl Hangover show, every single episode that I've ever had. Go ahead and download it on the podcast. Type up Female Field Guide and you see my cheese in the mug up there. You know you can go on the show page, blogtalkradio.com/ Female-Field-Guide, and you can set reminders to yourself. You can get a text saying, hey, Female Field Guide is going to start in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you need, or an email. Let me tell you something. The possibilities are endless when it comes to Female Field Guide. We have a really great show. First of all, it's the show before the big Female Field Guide 1 year anniversary jam. So it's jam-packed, 2 hours. We're talking golf. We're talking hockey. We're talking this dang NBA lockout. Of course, we're getting our football fix. Entrepreneurial Spotlight and LA Spark sensation Ebony Hoffman will be calling in. We'll be talking about basketball. We'll be talking about offseason, of course, sports and relationships, because that's what Female Field Guide is all about. Jab. Yes. What's going to be in the show tonight? Don't mind if I do. Hey There Girl segment. We're going to be talking to the founders of Tails Inc. Events. And I'm excited to speak with them. Miss Juanita Douglas, Tawana Hooks. They are the CEOs and founders of Tails Inc. I'm going to be teaming up with them and co-hosting a breast cancer event. It will be at my event next week. It's Girl Power, it's Teamwork. I'm going to be talking to them in a few minutes. Like I said, LA Sparks forward Ebony Hoffman will be on the MIC calling in a few. I'm excited about that. College football quarter, we're going to be talking about, hey, college athletes. They're not professionals. And Andre feels exactly the same. My friend Andre and a USC grad, he shares his thoughts and his experiences at USC, and why these professional athletes need to wait till they become pros, and when they're in college, your students. We'll talk with Andre and get his thoughts on that. The crossover, talking NBA headlines with our senior producer, Tamika, and Amika Menon. Hey there, girl. Football fix, two-minute drill. Authors roundtable, talking golf with Mr. Larry Burley. That's a good interview. What the puck? Talking hockey with Tommy, and a very, very fun. And I have a feeling it's going to be informative. Sports and entertainment spin, which I feel is a beautiful marriage, sports and entertainment, that is mixed in the most tasty cocktail that I like to call. Did y'all hear about that? The Female Field Guide Sports and Entertainment segment featuring my brother, Darren George, actor, comedian, writer, all around awesome guy. Jared George. He's also going to be the MC and the host for next week for the Female Field Guide 1 year jam. Let's go ahead and give him an applause just because. Huh? Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a fan of brain teasers. I'm a fan of things to really get the juices flowing, you know? I've got a brain teaser for you. I've got a fun fact for you. Here's a question. You ready? What does Powerade, New Balance, 20 Miles E, Push On Second, Art Gallery, More, Pretty Hair Diva, ZenForce Media, LA Sparks, Military Bowl, Gilded Media, LA Dodgers, Pepper Me Sweets, Earth Tone Photography, KDB Long Beach, Coca-Cola. What do they all have in common? They're all sponsors, contributors, and supporters for the Female Field Guide 1-year anniversary next weekend, Saturday, October 22nd. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we've been planning this event. We've been planning this event for quite some time, and it's finally here. Haven't been getting much sleep, but in a good way. I'm so excited. Things are definitely coming together. Celebrating 1 year of learning, laughing, and loving the game. It's going to be at Push Boutique and Art Gallery and Lounge in the Pomona Arts District, 250 West 2nd Street. If you are in SoCal, or if you just feel compelled to hop on a plane and come party with your girl, it's going to be an event unlike any other. Please get your pre-sale tickets, because we're going to be having food, swag bags, and all that good stuff. Go ahead and visit www.femalefieldguide.eventbrite.com. Pre-sale tickets are 10 buckaroos. You're going to get raffles. Really, really great raffles. Food, drink, and a little bit more. And with it being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, ladies and gents, we will be paying homage to those that we may have lost, those that are fighting, and those that have survived the battle of breast cancer. We'll be paying homage in quite a few ways. So many ways, actually, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really happy to announce that a few of my good buddies that are either current football players or have retired, they have donated their time, energy, and a little few, NFL memorabilia to the event. We're going to be having a silent auction. Here's one. Autographed NFL pink breast cancer awareness cleat worn by my boy, Jason Wright, 7-year veteran. Thank you so much, Jace. Like I said, an awesome silent auction. WNBA, NFL, MLB, NBA player and team memorabilia with the opportunity to bid. You have a big heart. Some of the proceeds will be going to the team Female Field Guide, the Susan G. Komen walk. It's going to be taking place in the spring, so please support and please come out. I'm not done talking about the amazing things that are going to take place next week. My good buddy, John Boggs III, he is a dope artist. He will be painting sneakers with autographs from my buddies, former Bucks and Oklahoma Sooners greats, Dante Nicholson, USC greats, and 9-year Cleveland Brown vet, Daylon McCutcheon. Of course, my boy Jay Wright's autograph, and Colts defensive end Robert Mathis. All that going to be on some pretty dope sneakers. You'll have the chance to bid on them. I'm excited about this. And also, I have to say this, John Barge painted a really, really, really dope, and when I mean dope, Kobe Bryant piece.
Awkward.
And I can't even hit. They'll be there. Have a chance to get little, I believe, 8x10s of that. John Barge is dope. Also, he's going to be painting a Raiders pair of sneakers dedicated to Al Davis, and a really dope Raiders Al Davis commemorative piece. It's going to be a fantastic opportunity to bid on these once-in-a-lifetime work of arts. And you know what? I appreciate everybody for being a part of my dream, because you know what I say? Teamwork makes the dream work. And, of course, a very special shout-out to Blog Talk Radio. Yeah! After this break, we are going to talk a little. Hey there, girl. Representing the ladies, talking sparks, talking basketball, talking entrepreneurship. After these messages,
you're listening to the Female Field Guide with Jasmine George.
You go, girl.
I mean, there's such a huge relational gap with men and women when it comes to sports. Because I want to bridge that gap. If you can have a meaningful conversation with the sports fans in your life, my job is done. I mean, there's a disconnect from the womb, especially with football. The men in our life learn about the X's and O's when they're little guys. They have Pop Warner. They have Madden. And what do we have? Nothing. Ladies, I truly want to get you right. learn, laugh, and love the game.
You're listening to the Female Field Guide with Jasmine.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gents. We're going to hop into our first segment. You know, I'm a former ball player, but like I said, give me about 20 minutes and my jump shot is still wicked. But my passion for the game and my passion for women empowerment, of course, entrepreneurship is so heavy and so just prevalent on my heart. And so, of course, our Hey There Girl segment represents the ladies in a both athletic standpoint and entrepreneur standpoint. So let's hop all up in it. Hey there, girl. Let's do it.
Hey there, girl. You go, girl.
Parker got the position down low, and Candace Parker with 22 for the score.
First time in WNBA history, someone has
jumped
in a game.
It's Lisa
Leslie with the jump.
You go, girl.
Now, I love being a former ball player. I loved being a part of covering the LA Sparks this season, the 15-year anniversary of the WNBA hitting the world. And let me tell you something, I had a blast covering it. And you know what? I am even more excited about the young lady that I'm about to bring on, Miss Ebony Hoffman. Let me tell you something. We actually played each other back in the day. I'm not gonna age us, but I've met her on Media Day. We realized we had a lot in common. And so we're going to touch base and talk in our Hey There Girl segment. And I would love to bring on the show right now, Miss Ebony Hoffman.
Hey, girl, how you doing?
Hey, Ebony, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time, hopping on Female Field Guide and supporting me also next week. How are you enjoying your weekend?
You know, it's going well. You know, just doing the regular stuff, watching football, you know, just trying to get that Sunday errands going.
I heard that. It's been a crazy week, too, you know, especially today with these NFL games. And it's week six. You don't know what the heck's going to go on, you know.
Exactly. You know, it's a toss-up right now. But, you know, a lot of the few of these teams are out here to make them some noise. And so I'm just excited to watch them play right now.
That's right. Speaking of noise, forward L.A. Spark sensation Ebony Hoffman. She was at Narbonne High School. We actually played you guys. Dunbar played you guys in a few tournaments. Went on to USC, make some noise there. Play a little bit of Indiana, and now with the LA Sparks. And, you know, like I said before, Ebony, I was really excited to be able to cover you guys this year. Just a few games short of making the playoffs. But I want to ask you, you know, we are both, you know, ball players. And how did it feel to be a part of that, the 15th anniversary game, the Sparks and the New York Liberty? How did it feel to be there playing?
You know, it's a milestone game to be to be a part of, and you know, as a player, when you look back at your career, the milestone games that you can remember, I think those games like that really stand out when you get a little bit older. So, I mean, for right now, it's great. I was excited, and you know, it's just exciting to see the league still going on.
I absolutely agree with that, and I want to get your opinion. I really was intrigued with the Sparks squad because it was a beautiful mixture of kind of some old school and new school, you know, with of course, Thompson and Delisha, you know, and Parker, and then, Jontel and yourself. I want to know, you know, what do you see for the squad next season moving on?
Well, you know, of course things will be shaken up because this season was not becoming of ourselves. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a shakeup. And, you know, our management is going to look for, you know, looking for a winning team. You know, of course, there'll be some few pieces that will stay and that will be built upon. But I'm more than likely than not, it will probably be a pretty much a new team next year just because of the inconsistency of last year and the amount of talent we had, we still couldn't deliver. So, you know, it just goes to show you how competitive this league is, and, you know, not every win is guaranteed.
That's right. You know, something funny, I think I joked about it with you when the second time you guys played Indiana. I love your game because, yes, you're a par forward, but you got the nerve to have a nice little jumper, and they mess around and leave you outside the arc, and you must have hit about three or four three-pointers, and I said, okay, Ebony, okay. So I love that. I think it was actually a couple days before your birthday. How did you spend that?
You know what? It was kind of bittersweet playing against my former team. You know, there was no hard feelings for having been there for 7 long years. You know, it's where I started off my career, and you know, to play against them and to have a great game and for us to win. You know, ultimately, I'm just looking to play basketball and to win. That's all. Absolutely. You know, just get the W however which way it comes. If that means I have to go get 10 rebounds and no points, then that's what I'll go do. So it just depends on what the team needs from me at that day, and then I'll give that.
That's right. Now, you know, it's the off season for the WNBA, and a lot of the women go overseas to play in other countries. And is that something you're going to be doing this year, or are you going to be staying in the States?
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, I got to go overseas, and it's just a matter of trying to stay in shape for the season. You know, unlike the men, you know, with like they have the Goodman League and the Drew League and all these different leagues they can play in. You know, us women in the off season, we don't have very many leagues that we can play in and still get good competition. So you know, and well, we get to go overseas and make money and still get good competition. So I think it all goes hand in hand.
Absolutely. Ebony Hoffman played 34 games, averaged 22 minutes, got them boards and the jump shot for the L.A. Sparks. And, you know, something I really love about the WNBA is yes, they are, of course, making moves and continue to be a factor on the court. But I love, you know, every team and especially the Sparks, their efforts off the court. And I've been getting the emails from Ben and learning more about some of the things that you and some of the players are doing, linking up with schools. Let the listeners know, you know, what type of projects and ventures are you doing to spread the word about literacy and you know, just becoming more than just a ball player?
Well, right now I'm involved with a few initiatives. I'm with the Wake Up New York City Wake Up Call, where we call the students and let them know that, you know, just to shake off that sleep and get going in the schools. And that's in New York City, you know. So, and I'm also with the Good School program here in Los Angeles in the LAUSD, trying to do the same thing, leaving messages for them in the morning. Telling them to wake up and just to be inspired to get to school. And the LAUSD one is really different with really trying to incorporate wellness and, you know, the way they eat and how they study. And, you know, so both of the initiatives, it's all about education with me right now. And just trying to show these students that there's another way besides, you know, going left. They can go right.
Yeah, you know what? When you said New York, waking them kids up. Now, we're both California girls. It's cold out there. And listen, when the wintertime comes, the blanket is to my neck. I'm not getting up. So I'm glad you calling and waking them kids up, because I may need you to call me, too, even though I'm not in school. It's just cold and my bones ache. So I'm loving that initiative. I'm loving that initiative you have. And I remember that we when we talked on Media Day, of course, my show, we incorporate sports and relationships. And I love when we spoke, you know, that about you having such a supportive husband and just the importance of that dynamic of just love and communication. And so share with the listeners just a little bit about, you know, you being the pro athlete in the equation and how awesome it is to have your partner in crime just really support you during the season and, of course, when you're overseas.
Yeah, well, you know, with the type of job that I have, it's not very conventional in the fact of, you know, being 9 to 5. You know, some days I might have practice at 8 in the morning and then I'll be home at around lunchtime, or, you know, I might have an appearance that'll last 2 hours during the middle of the day, or I might have an appearance to do that night. And, you know, my hours are so up and down, and so either right now or next week, or you know, I never really know what each day holds or what schedule my schedule holds. And for him to just to have my back through, you know, whatever it is, if I'm struggling with, you know, waking up, he'll make me breakfast. If, you know, if my feet hurt, he'll rub my feet. He's the ultimate. Yeah, I mean, seriously, he is the ultimate partner in knowing that, you know, as an athlete, you know, I have different needs than somebody that, you know, is a secretary or, you know, is a teacher. You know, not to diminish anything that they do, but, you know, it's just what my job implies me to do is just, it's totally different. And he completely understands that from the time that, you know, I might be gone for 4 or 5 months, you know, and,
yeah.
and, you know, we won't see each other or we'll just talk on the phone. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's just amazing to have that support system just always next to you. And just to know that, you know, regardless of how your day goes, you've always got that smiling face at home.
That's right. And you know what? Speaking of support, I really appreciate you making your appearance, girlfriend, next week at my Female Field Guide Jam. Now, make sure you have some comfortable shoes because we might get the electric slide in. Cupid shuffle, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But Ebony, please let the listeners know, you know, where can they just find out more about you? And, of course, once the season gets back underway, be able to follow these games and get some Sparks tickets. Where can they learn more information about you?
Oh, you know what? You can actually find out some more information about myself on Facebook, Ebony Hoffman. Also, I've got a fan page. You can click the like button to see if you like anything I'm talking about. I'm also on Twitter at Ebony Hoffman 16.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can find me at EbonyHoffman.com. So, yeah, I've got a lot of things going on. I'll be coming out soon with a cookbook this hopefully this winter, if not definitely in the spring.
Okay.
You know, just definitely trying to get us a lot of things going on for me right here in Los Angeles.
I love it, and we'll definitely have to bring it back on. We're talking about the cookbook. I'm going to have to get that. I need to expand myself, trying to get me a husband over here. I need to step my cooking game up. So
we'll I heard that.
We'll have to get you back on the show. Ebony, thank you so much for coming on LA Sparks Sensation Forward and US Be Great. Ebony, thank you so much for coming on, and I will see you in less than a week, honey bunch.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye.
All right.
You got to love it. You got to love it. These athletes, these ball players are super busy. She gave me about 15 minutes of her time, and I appreciate that. Well, you know what? I want to keep it going with the girl power, with the support, with the women empowerment. And like I said, I had a chance to really make some great connections over the past couple of weeks, gearing up for my Female Field Guide, the one-year anniversary jam. But guess what? It's about giving back. It's about supporting others as well. And I had the chance to sit down with the CEOs and founders of Telus Inc. Events, Miss Juanita Douglas and Tawana Hooks. And we had a quick, cute little conversation. Like I said, I'll be co-hosting the Passion for Pink Breast Cancer event. That's going to be taking place Thursday on October 27th. And I just want to play our conversations that I had with the ladies at Telus Inc. And this is what we had to talk about. I am so excited. We have another Female Field Guide exclusive. It's October. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I am so excited to be on the telly with two wonderful ladies who are at the forefront with spreading awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month and really the entire year, Ms. Tawana Hooks and Juanita Douglas. Ladies, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank
you for having me. I'm glad you guys that we were able to link up. I know we're all busy, and this month has been amazingly busy, but we're on the telly, and I am excited. Now, you ladies are the head ladies of Telus Inc. Events. Tell me, you know, how did you guys meet, and how did Telus Inc. Events start?
Oh, my gosh. We met, how many years has it been, Tawana? Like,
it's been a while,
like at least 7 or 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I met her I got hired at a job, and she just happened to be working in the front office, and we just clicked right away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and been close ever since. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have a very long relationship before we started Telus Inc.
Okay.
And so, you know, Telus Inc. kind of developed because we would go out a lot.
Mm.
We would go to different nightclubs in the IE. We mm-hmm. would go to different social functions, and we just kept running into the same thing. You know, we just kept running into not the type of crowd that we wanted to deal with.
Mm, yes.
Not the type of people dressed the way that we wanted to dress.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always just sit around and just, you know, always talk about, well, what if we had, and what if we had, and what if we had?
Mm.
Well, that what if we had came and turned into Telus Inc. Events.
I love it. I love it. And you ladies have been going strong. I know that the Passion for Pink event will be hosted by you ladies and
yes.
and spreading the word. And I'm super excited to be one of the co-hosts and anything I can do.
Yay!
Anything I can do to bring a smile on people's face and, of course, just, you know, spread the awareness. It's going to be after my event, Thursday, October 27th.
We will be in the house.
Yeah.
And the Passion for Pink event, October 27th, Thursday, 5:30 to 9:00. Of course, Shakey's Pizza. I love Shakey's Pizza. Good spot,
tell
lady.
Tell me about it, right?
Oh, my gosh. Am I able to kind of sneak away and get some chicken and some pizza while I'm hosting?
I am, so we'll find that little area, but we'll be there for Passion for Pete.
Yes, it's going to be at Victoria Gardens, and I love Victoria Gardens. And just, you know, let the listeners know, you know, how Passion for Pink, how this event it came about, and how was it on your heart, ladies, to be a part of this?
Well, go ahead, Donna.
Okay. Well, one of the things I wanted to say is that we had an instant chemistry, and throughout our, you know, later in our friendship, we learned that we actually both lost our mothers to cancer.
I see.
It was not breast cancer, but, you know, we both had to deal with looking at the breakdown, the cancer, what it actually does to you. So it was just important for us to give back for our mothers, in honor of our mothers, and for everyone that's been affected by breast cancer or any other type of cancer.
Absolutely. I had an uncle, my aunt's husband, passed away of prostate cancer, and I actually lived with him during that last few months. And so, you know, just like you ladies spoke about the deterioration that takes place, and not only with the individual that is sick, but, you know, in the hearts, you know, of those that are caring for them. And, you know, it's out of our hands. We can't do anything. It's in God's plans as to, you know, what their illness is doing. So that's why I completely understand. And, you know, it is October, but, you know, absolutely, cancer in any type of the body, we've got to find a cure.
Yes, we do.
We absolutely do. What I love about Tells Inc. is that, yes, I'm excited about Passion for Pink, but you ladies have got some other events coming up, some Halloween jams and whatnot. What else do you guys have on deck?
Oh, my gosh. We just have so much going on. We also have another charity event, and it's called Project Keep Warm. And
yes.
This is our actual second annual Project Keep Warm.
Mm.
And so basically what it is it's a jacket and blanket drive, and we have several drop-off locations here in the IE, and people just donate what they have. It's time to clean out your closet. There's always somebody in need, whether it be this month, next month, or next year. And so this is just kind of our time to just stop and just really collect collectively, you know, as one unit, everybody.
I love it.
But men, women, children, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Just all, you know, get together and do this. And then once it's over, then we take it. We usually go to the Elks Lodge in San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
We volunteer to feed the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
We give out bags, the care packages, and they get to take home clothes, and it's just a great event. It's a great opportunity for people to actually come out and give back, and so we're always looking for volunteers.
Yes, well, please keep me posted on that. I've actually wanted to volunteer at missions, especially around the holidays. It's you know, from one side of the coin, it could be such a joyous occasion for those that do have family, but then, you know, sometimes we don't stop and look at, wow, there's people that really are in unfortunate situations, and so anything that we can do to give back, I'm with it. You ladies are absolutely fantastic. Tells Inc., Juanita and Tawana, let me tell you something. You ladies are thebomb.com, our entrepreneur spotlight. You know, you guys are supporting me at my event. I will definitely turn right back around and be there on the 27th and helping with the jacket and blanket drive. Ladies, where can the listeners find more information about Tells Inc., about Passion for Pink, and everything else you have going on?
About information on our Facebook page, and it's www.facebook.com/Tells Inc. Event.
Okay.
You can find out all the information for Passion for Pink, Project Keep Warm, as well as our Saturday Night Live, the first Saturday of every month.
I love it. Never a dull moment. Tells Inc., I'm loving the newfound relationship with Jazzy Fizzle, Female Field Guide, and I'm really appreciative that you guys were able to come on the show. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. We started rolling. We were jamming, and I could talk to those ladies. We could have based the whole show just on us just jamming and talking about all the different projects and ventures that we could definitely collaborate on. Once again, Tells Inc., like I said, I will be co-hosting the Breast Cancer Fundraiser event on Thursday, October 27th at Shakey's Pizza in Victoria Gardens. Please, you can email me, Facebook me. If you have any questions also about the Blanket and Jacket Drive, and of course, Tells Inc. on their Facebook page. Ladies, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for coming. After the break, we're going to talk college football in our college football corner. Not only just football, but student athletes in general. Should they be paid? Are they taking their, the handouts for granted? Well, I've got my boy Andre, a USC grad. He shared a lot, actually, very candid and very authentic in his piece that he wrote on SoEducated.com. After the break, we'll be talking with Andre. This is Jasmine George, your female field guide. Don't go away.
Lord of mercy, don't forget to come to the Female Field Guide celebration 1 year, Irie, October 22nd, 2011.
What's going on? This is Grinshaw Dan from Walnut, California, playing straight out of France, giving a shout out to my missing girl Jazzy, representing the Female Field Guide. Listen, every week, she's holding it down.
Hey, this is Jason Wright, 7-year NFL veteran. Love listening to Female Field Guide. Jazz, you got it going on.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Female Field Guide, a woman's cheat sheet to sports, entertainment, athletics, relationships, you name it. We're going to keep rolling on, 2-hour show, so much to cover, and I'm so excited about tonight. We represented the ladies in our Hey There Girl segment. Well, let's talk about an issue, a topic that's really been at the forefront of headlines in college basketball, college football in particular. And you know what? Especially with what has gone down with the Florida team, with Cam Newton and Auburn, and USC. And also, speaking of which, I've got a USC grad and a friend of mine who wrote a pretty cool and honest piece on SoEducated.com titled, Collegiate Athletes Are Supposed to Be Students, Not Professionals. And I'm excited to bring Andre on. Andre, are you here, brother?
Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
did you like that welcome?
I did. I loved it. That was perfect.
The button is called applause crazy, because I could have just given you a regular applause, you know what I mean? But I said no.
I got you. I thought you were at a USC game.
That's right. Fight on. Speaking of yesterday, they got that nice little W, so I'm happy with that.
There we go.
Now, Andre, I appreciate you sending me the email, because I read it and I was like, wow. And I love just your authenticity, because you're not just some dude, you know, people get on blogs and they kind of start feeling themselves and they just talk out of their neck and whatnot. But you actually shared your personal experiences as a USC graduate, and also tell the listeners about your athletic background, in particular at USC.
Yeah, actually, I was there. I was there between 2000 and 2004. I actually ran track, though. So I ran track. I was a long jumper there. So, you know, I tried to do my thing. I was an All-American my senior year. So this is something, you know, where, you know, I'm kind of familiar with. So, like you said before, I'm not just kind of speaking, you know, just kind of trying to ramble on or anything. This is kind of stuff that I've kind of seen, you know, firsthand.
Yeah. Absolutely, and you are a student athlete, actually got that degree, you know, a fantastic career. And tell me really what inspired you to write, you know, collegiate athletes are supposed to be students, not professionals. What drove you to actually do this now?
Well, I think I just kind of got to that boiling point. It's one of those things where, you know, like I said, I kind of witnessed it firsthand. You know, I always hear, you know, athletes always saying, you know, I should be paid, you know, we should do this, you know, my jersey's in the stores, you know, I'm not getting paid enough, you know, schools are obviously going to make millions, and, you know, I wasn't really trying to, you know, justify whether or not what the schools are doing is right or wrong, or whether or not they should be paid or more. I guess the point that I was kind of trying to make is that the stuff that they do have control over, I feel like they're not taking advantage of, so they're getting, you know, these priceless education stuff where other students would gladly trade places with them. I mean, their education is getting paid for everything. Yeah. I mean, and on top of that, they're getting the stipends, you know, they're getting other things that other students are not. You know, 99.9% of other students aren't getting. So it's kind of frustrating when I see all these athletes, you know, when they walk away from the table, you know, they just leave, they're trying to develop professional, not really taking education seriously. They're not graduating, you know, especially the football and basketball players, not graduating. When they are there, they're kind of taking it easy, you know, you know, they're kind of majoring in whatever, not even stuff that they're genuinely interested in, just so that they can remain eligible, you know, other stuff. So it just gets kind of frustrating when you see that, because I think they just kind of take it for granted, you know, that you know, they take the opportunities for granted that they've been given.
You know, you're absolutely right, because when, you know, the first slot is when you hear about the 250, what I think, million or you know, contract with the Pac-12, and you see all these numbers, and then you're like, okay, yeah, they need to get paid. But then I loved in your piece, you gave us a number to actually look at. You know, with you being a USC grad and with USC being a private, you know, university, they can, you know, continue every year to raise the tuition. And I love the figure that you put, because you know firsthand, USC $57,000 for the school year. What?
Yep.
You know, a full ride, you know, a dude or a lady, full ride scholarship athlete, it's free, just like you said, a stipend. And then you went on to say, you know, some students have to, you know, do the work study. They've got to take out a great deal of loans. They're standing in line for the financial aid. I know that. I got injured before going to college, so I was just a student. And I did work study. I worked in the athletic department, and sometimes I didn't have enough hours for the loan, you know, to be covered. I had to ask parents, and that's frustrating. And to see these students, and you saw them firsthand, and I did too, you know, to take basket weaving 101 and ballroom dancing, you know what I mean?
They
have the fantastic, you know, sociology degree, communications. Well, exactly what in communications? And then also I definitely want to touch upon the one and done. You know, for my ladies who don't know exactly what that is, the one and done is, you know, you go to school for at least a year, or sometimes, depending on the sport, a semester, and then you declare yourself eligible for the NBA draft or things like that, and you really don't care really what classes you're taking. So I love a quote that you said. I seriously doubt that another year or two of remaining in college to earn your degree is the make it or break it. I agree, because, you know, a lot of the ball players say, I'm doing this for my family, I'm trying to feed my family. When we do hear situations where, you know, the family is in dire straits of, you know, needing some sort of financial assistance, but sometimes I think a year or two they can hang on, you know.
Right.
What did you get your degree?
I guess that was like the essence too, because it was like, geez, you know, like I would hear athletes always hear that. And like, you know, I said in an article, you know, I'm not necessarily here to judge it, but, you know, a lot of times they just make it seem like they got to go professional. And I'm like, come on, man, your family's doing all right. I know your family. I've seen them. They're good. But like I said in an article, sometimes that's just the difference between, you know, their mom driving, you know, just some regular, you know, regular car, like a Honda Accord or something, giving them the opportunity to drive, you know, that Mercedes. Yeah. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, and so I guess it's just frustrating because they don't necessarily value the actual education. And so it's just frustrating. But I've been there, and everything, so it's, you know, I see it. So I've been there with you. Like you said, you know, we're actually standing in line, we're paying, we're doing all this stuff, and for them it's just kind of like, boom, you know, all right, when can I go pro? Ain't worried about graduating.
Absolutely, and, you know, this something that just popped in my head was, yes, but, you know, every athlete that has, you know, dreams and aspirations to make it in the league, but there's nothing like having that degree to fall back on, especially in today's time. You know, for the most part, a BA, depending on the concentration, a master's, you can teach. You know, why everything is cooking up with female field guide, I'm teaching sports psychology because I got those degrees. And so we have friends where they, or, you know, I'm going to leave one semester early. I'm 9 units short of getting that degree, and they go get drafted and they blow out their knee. Now what? So I, you know, and it's just, you know, you were able to ball out your senior year, got that degree, and you know, you're providing for your family. And I want to touch upon what you said about, Andrew Luck, Stanford. He's dope. And he decided to stay another year. He could have went first round in the NFL draft, but he decided to stay a year, finish up his degree, and I believe he's working on master's courses. Talk a little bit about the type of, on the other spectrum, Andrew Luck and the type of athletes that are, you know, criticized for deciding to get their education. Just talk about your thoughts about that.
Yeah, that's just like the biggest frustrating, because, you know, you turn on the, you'll turn on, you know, Fox Sports or whatever other sports channel, And it's like they'll jump on their case because they're going back to school, and they always say the same thing. He's turning down millions. He's turning down millions. What if he gets hurt? What if this and that? And I'm like, man, he's just trying to go back because he enjoys school, and he said he actually wants to finish school. And it's just amazing that these types of students actually just get criticized. And, you know, I don't expect every athlete to go out there and, you know, be a Rhodes Scholar. You know, you got people like Myron Rowe down in Florida State who was a Rhodes Scholar. You got other people who, you know, are just brilliant, like, you know, Mika Okafor. I think he graduated in like 3 years or less or something like that. So, you know, there's athletes out there who are just, you know, totally brilliant. They're athletes, you know, they're going to do it. They're going to get it done. And, you know, they might leave. But, you know, I think they just really have to understand that these are just opportunities that are just priceless. And I think they have to realize that any other student would trade places with them in a heartbeat. And so, it's just frustrating when I hear those types of athletes getting criticized for actually just wanting to go back and actually just finish, get their degree, enjoy school, enjoy their time of their life, you know, enjoy, you know, the social aspect that comes with, the college life and other things, and just enjoying it. And that's why, you know, I love the Love and Basketball quote, you know, when he was telling his dad, you know, he could go pro, and said, you know, finish school, get your education. The NBA ain't going nowhere. And it's true. It's not going anywhere. So just finish that school.
Andre, you messed around and said a quote from my favorite movie. Andre, you are fantastic. Let me tell you that. I love it. I love it. I'm glad you're Ribs and Isaac's roommate. That's what I'm talking about. Go ahead and fight on. Now, also, when I was reading your piece, and I also saw that, you know what, you are just, I'm loving it. You are sharing your opinion, your experiences, and you know what? Actually, you've written a couple other pieces, not on So Educated, but a couple of other blogs and websites. Let the listeners know about your opinion, also about HBCUs, Historically Black Colleges and Universities. That's a whole nother show we can talk about. Where can they read your piece on that?
That one is actually on Policy Diary. The moderator of that is John S. Wilson. He's he's really big right now. He's been featured on MSNBC. He actually just wrote a piece for CNN and everything. So shout out to John Wilson. Let me get featured on that. I wrote a piece on Black Colleges for that, so you can check that out. I have written a piece for SoEducated.com. I actually got the article also posted on ThyBlackMan.com and ThyBlackMan.com. So, you know, I'm just trying to make a few little cameo appearances before I just go full force with my own blog, which is actually crossingtheatlantic.com. But I just want to make a few more. So I'm working on a few things, and I'm really just trying to take my time with these pieces. You know, I know some people, they just kind of blog every day and just kind of write quick little short pieces and everything, but I actually like to really take my time, and I actually like to touch on issues, I think, where people are kind of sensitive about and don't really have the courage to speak up on something or say it. So that's more of what, you know, what my thing is. I just kind of want to write about those issues where people are kind of scared or don't really want to know what people are going to say. So, you know, as expected, the criticism is going to come. You know, you're going to have your supporters. You know, you're going to have some people who are just going to criticize everything. But that's all right. That's the name of the game. So
that's right. That's right.
Check me out on any of those websites.
That's right, and you let me know. You got another piece coming. Hop all up on Female Field Guide. Black man doing his thing, USC grad Andre. Thank you so much. I'll probably see you when Ribs and Tanika pop out that little boy. So I know I'll probably see you in a couple months.
I'll be there too next weekend.
That's what I'm talking about. See? Boom. So now people, that's the dude that was in the show last week. Boom, you sign an autograph. That's what I'm talking about, Andre.
I'll try to be like you.
Hey, man. Hey, that's what we got to do. Anytime you want to come back on the show, please do. I will see you next week. Andre, thank you so much for coming on the show, bro. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. All right.
See you next week, man.
All right.
There it is. Andre. When we come back, I'm talking to one of my senior producers. And a very, very fantastic Mika Minute on the other side of this break, talking this crazy NBA lockout and more. This is Female Field Guide. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Ha ha, Jim George, Female Field Guide. What? Number one radio talk show. Your own app.
Speaking of golden.
Golden.
Female Field Guide.
uh-huh. phone app. Will you be supporting me, my friends, and the show?
There is no doubt. It's a free app, first of all. Let's talk about the free part.
Yes.
Ain't nothing like free. Every time they tell you something free, it's a underlying charge on there. This ain't no charge. I just pay my phone bill. That's all I do. But guess what? I'm getting that free app.
Right.
And tomorrow night is Sunday night. And guess what happens on Sunday night? FFG.
Holla!
We listening to it.
Listen, Dribble Pro, Female Field Guide, this is what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
A new friendship and relationship on the road, LA Live, Nike 3-on-3 basketball. This is Jasmine George, your Female Field Guide. Holla. Welcome back to the show. Shout out to Ashton from Dribble Pro. We had such a blast that day, Nike 3-on-3 tournament. Speaking of Nike, speaking of basketball, speaking of NBA, speaking of the crossover segment, and speaking of Tamika Poland, let's get it in. Tamika Minute!
Tamika Minute with Lakers insider Tamika Poland.
Well, when you have a smaller point guard and you're actually tired of him coming inside the lane, the only thing you can do is hit him and get out of the game because you are done with the series like the Lakers were.
I love LA. I love LA.
Oh, shout out to my family. They really allow me to just abuse their voices and borrow everything that they have to lend to the show. And you know what? Speaking of lending to the show her expertise, we've got Tamika on the ones and twos. Get ready for the applause. Crazy, Mika! Hey, Boo.
Hey, Boo.
What's up, doll?
How are you? I'm good. I'm good.
I'm fantastic. Are you jet lagged?
You know, I was. We actually just got back to the house right now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought you flew in at like 10 a.m.
I did, but then we made a couple stops, watched a little football, you know, and then we watched a late game, and then we zoomed into the crib because I had to do my Mika Minute.
So you know what? That deserves another applause. Oh, you know, we should add for next week for the trivia, what's the most overused button on the show? And I definitely think the crazy applause should be up there, at least top three. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree.
Well, I'm still going to play
awkward.
So let's get right into it, Mika, because this NBA lockout is getting a little out of hand, and we talked, a couple days back, and you filled me in on some more happenings. We know that NBA Commissioner David Stern, he counts for the first 2 weeks of the regular season, but, it's more than 100 days of the lockout. There's been some new developments. What's going down with this NBA lockout and the possibility of no season at all? Talk to us.
We are approaching day 102, and still the two sides haven't figured out how to divide up the $4 billion in annual basketball-related income. Players have proposed lowering their guaranteed cut from 57% to 53%, while the owners are seeking 53% of revenue for themselves. And on Friday, David Stern said that if there was not a deal made by Tuesday, you could be looking at nobody playing before Christmas Day. Now,
Wow. Everybody
knows that Christmas is, you know, the best games, the best rivals come out on those games, and it's like,
yep,
it's Christmas. Who wants wait until Christmas to see a basketball game? Nobody wants to wait till Christmas to see a basketball game, but according to some players, they're really tired of the negotiations, and some of them are ready to fold, while the others are like, no, we have to stand our ground, we're staying united, and we're going to let Billy Hunter and Derek Fisher get us out of this because we want to make sure that the money that is spent is going to not cover just the owners, but cover the players themselves.
Do you think Derek Fisher's a good rep?
I do, because you know what? He's doing it from both perspectives. He's doing it from the president and actually being a player. So, you know, he's not making any more money being the president of the players. He's making the same amount of money that he was being an actual player. So being able to see both sides and to be able to feel like you are one of the players and to be able to voice your opinion and actually have it heard by the owners, you have an advantage.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Now, David Stern, you know,
I respect him because he really knows how to flex his muscles. I really didn't – I didn't know how to – when he did, you know, the crazy dress code back in the day that was, I think, pointed right at Allen Iverson, and I didn't really appreciate it. But now, you know, 10 or 15 years later, seeing how well-dressed and just sharp these ball players look, I'm like, okay, David Stern, you know what you're talking about. Now, he actually is flexing his muscles in another way. The big three, you know, they have the Celtics, and then they have the big three of Miami and the dream teams, you know. And some fans, some people think it's fantastic, but some people think it's not fair for the smaller market teams. Now, tell the listeners, what is David Stern trying to do? Is he for that or is he against it, putting these power teams together?
Well, according to David Stern, he admitted during a recent interview that the reduction of the bird rights, which is the increase of the luxury tax, the hardening of the salary cap, can only do so much to sway a player's preference. They tried to make it more attractive for players to stay with their current team, but the trend, however, is not working, and now the NBA is asking for a hard cap, which means if these players do go to other teams and consider themselves the big three, well, during these times right now, they'll have to relinquish one of the core players just so they'll be able to pay them. Now, this all came about after the Miami Heat got their big three and how their luxury tax actually went up to being, because they had to pay LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade all over $100 million.
Woo.
Now, they want to put a hard cap on that because there's no way that a team should have to give up over $300 million just for three players.
Jeez.
Over a seven-year stance. So he's trying to say now that they're actually hoping and praying that players stay with their current team so they don't have to worry about having to have another CBA or luxury tax for that particular team, because it's going for a higher market team than it is for a lower market team.
So even if you're
a smaller market, you're not going to have any big players because nobody wants to come to your team unless you get some high-profile players.
Yeah, and those the smaller market teams, just that, they don't have the cashola to be shelling out $100 million. Give me a break. I wonder if I could – I think I may tweet LeBron and see if he wants to pay for my grad school loans. I'm going to look into that, Mika, because it's piling up.
Well, he's tweeting Pete Carroll.
Yes. What a wonderful transition. That's why you're my senior producer. Speaking of that, now, the NFL lockout is lifted. We're on week six. It's fantastic. You know, Braun, everybody else, they're at the house. They're not doing anything. And for years, because of the stature and the way that LeBron is built, they said he's perfect, absolutely perfect for, you know, playing in the NFL, tight end, defensive end. I mean, he's a beast. It's been rumored that Seahawks head coach and former USC head coach Pete Carroll is actively recruiting LeBron James. What's going on with that? And can anything ever happen with that?
The only problem with signing LeBron James is that Chris Bosh will probably go up right behind him and say, "Hey guys, can I play too?" according to sources. It's very unlikely that it's going to happen simply because LeBron has yet to commit to anything, either because it's just a couple of guys that are on Twitter, you know, having fun going back and forth, or because he'd have to check in with D-Wade to see if that was even possible.
Wait a minute.
Crash and burn.
Oh, wow.
No, but really, you know, the funny thing was Pete Carroll sent him a picture, and it had a number one
awkward,
on it.
Awkward.
Oh, my God, that was dope. Go on.
Pete Carroll did send him a picture of a number one, and at the back of the jersey, it said James, and, you know, they were just tweeting back and forth, and they were talking about how it'd be great for him to come and play, and he's like, yeah, I could be that number one doing the touchdown. Of course, they'd have him at, like, the wide receiver position because he's too big to be a quarterback. But I'm sure it would just be a funny joke if it happened, like, a flag football or something.
He's gigantic, but I wonder how his talent would really translate on the football field.
Well, I mean, you can see his commercials with the Cleveland Browns when he was sick.
Photoshop. A green screen. Well, okay, so that's another thing. You know, LeBron, he's bored. He may play some football. But, you know, there's been some off-season activity. That, like I said, the guys are chilling at the house. And you know, some are playing overseas and some are, you know, getting involved in just like Ebony said, the Drew League and Gooden League. Now, Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin, did they play in the exhibition game already or is it scheduled to go down?
It's actually scheduled to go down, and it's Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin. They're going to play on opposing teams next week, at the Cox Convention Center with LeBron, Carmelo, Chris Paul, among other NBA superstars. And they actually caught up with a former player, Leeson, and he said a lot of these guys just want to play. Kevin played in most of the people's games all summer, and everybody who loves basketball just simply wants to play, regardless if it's a charity game, if it's an exhibition game, if it's just let's play 21 at the house. These are ballers, and they want to play, so they're trying to find a way to where they can have their training camp but not really have a training camp and still give the fans something that they want. Because
and you know
all
what?
These fans...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying, I mean, speaking of fans, I mean, whether if it's a charity event or, you know, one of these D-leagues, I can guarantee all those superstars that are playing, the ticket is definitely a lot less than what they would get, you know, courtside just seeing one team play. So, I mean, these balls, you know, right?
Yeah, and the good thing is that they're talking about the tickets really aren't that expensive. They're like $29 to $150, and you just get to come out depending on what city, what town they're in, check your local listings. But there's ballers that are out there in your city, and they want you to come see them play because, like Durant said, it's not just our job. The fans are missing out, too. The owners are missing out, and everybody in administration is missing out. So it's not like it was their fault that it happened, but it had to happen, and they feel really bad. So this is their way of thanking the fans and the people that, you know, support them. So they have all these exhibition games to where you can come out and you can still see your players ball even though they're not on their team's court.
Yeah. And you know what? It's definitely it draws the line. It kind of shows which ball players really just have the heart and passion to play. And you see them playing in all these type of games and things like that. Now, speaking of players but not, you know, playing on the court, somebody threw away his little black book, and somebody is not a player anymore, and his name is Chris Paul because he finally married his boo after all these years. He tells the listeners about that. He finally did.
Well, Chris Paul marries his longtime girlfriend, Jade Crawley, in a beautiful, elegant ceremony with several special guests slash groomsmen. LeBron James, one of the groomsmen. You had Dwayne and Gabby in attendance with Carmelo, Lala, Kevin Hart, Ludacris, and a host of other celebrities. I mean, it was so beautiful. It was outside. Their son was in it as their ring bearer. And you could just tell it was like pure love, and they were just waiting for it to happen to make it official. He actually met her while he was in college. So, I mean, it was only right that she stuck with him before he got it, made it, while he made it. They have a family, and now they're starting a life together.
That's right. You know, he probably had a flat top and a ducktail back then. She probably had a frizz, side ponytail. So it was it's old school, and they got together.
Old school.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know what? He is not doing nothing. He said, let me boo her up officially because I'm not playing. And this is wonderful times for families to just, for the wives and the girlfriends, to spend time with the men in their life because, you know, there's no basketball. So on depending on what side you're looking at it on, this NBA lockout is not all horrible. And you know what? You're fantastic, Mika, one of my senior producers, always coming with the facts. You're the best.
Yeah.
Yes, you're the best. And next week is going to be amazing. You are thebomb.com. And I love it. You cruised in really quick to come on and give us your expertise for our Mika Minute Talking NBA Headlines, Honey Bunch. And next week, get your rest because the Electric Slide, Cupid Shuffle, and all of that is going to be in effect. I need your publicist pool. So I'm going to kick you off the show right now, Honey Bunch. You are amazing. Another Mika Minute. Thanks, doll.
Thank you.
We are rocking and rolling. But, you know, we've got a whole hour left. 2 hours, baby. Female Field Guide, how do you like those apples? We will be right back and take a little, you know, another break. I need a sip of water because I am talking and I'm really, I'm a little dehydrated. We will be right back. Jasmine Georgia, Female Field Guide, after these messages.
Hey, everybody.
This is Candace Parker of the LA Sparks, and I love listening to the Female Field Guide.
Hi, this is Delisha Milton-Jones of the LA Sparks, and I love listening to the Female Field Guide.
This is Christina Silver of basketball.
Welcome back to the show. A little bit of a 60-second break.
Shout out to Tamika. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing her just expertise, her thoughts, and keeping us posted and keeping us abreast on what's going down with this NBA lockout and NBA headlines. Appreciate you, honey bunch. Well, you know, what I love about sports and what I love about entertainment, it's a beautiful mixture. It's a beautiful marriage, like I said. And you get a chance to read books about sports, about sports figures, and perhaps learn about sports and sports figures that you would have never, ever really learned about. And that's what I love about the show, because I have a chance to bring on some authors and to really share, you know, their stories, whatever it may be. And that's what we're doing right now in our Authors Roundtable. I had a chance to talk with Larry Burley, and we talked a little golf. Huh, how about that, Mulligan, huh? So here we are, Authors Roundtable. Let's hit it.
Welcome to the Female Field Guide, Authors Roundtable. Nigel, is that a European shoulder bag?
Female Field Guide exclusive in our Golf Mulligan segment, also on our Authors Roundtable segment, and I'm so excited to be interviewing Mr. Larry Burley. He is the author of A Golfer's Dream, How a Regular Guy Conquered the Golf Digest List of America's Top 100 Courses. Larry, how are you doing, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Jasmine. I'm looking forward to this interview.
Me too. I'm so glad that we were able to connect, and I'm excited to learn more about your book. But the cool thing is doing my research on you and learning a little bit more about your bio, you actually have a little bit of an entertainment background, and I would love for you to share with the listeners your background. We used to own SRO Productions and concert promotion. Please share with me and the listeners, you know, your background there.
Yep, I'd be glad to. I started my business 1 year ago. I ran it for 31 years, actually, and it started out as a booking agency, and then we transpired into a concert promotion business.
Mm.
And so I put on a lot of middle-of-the-road shows and a lot of baby boomer shows, like Andy Williams, Tony Bennett, Bill Cosby, B.B. King, James Taylor, a lot of new age stuff like Yanni and George Winston.
Wow.
And I'd say I did probably half the shows I did in Minneapolis, and the other half I would do in various cities around the country. And when I was doing it, it was really a great business, but it's changed so dramatically now that I'm not at all disappointed to be out of it.
Absolutely, and you seem to be having some great success with the golfer's dream as well. And what about your golfer or sports background, Larry?
You know, I don't have that much of a sports background. You know, I played a little basketball in high school, but I was never very good at sports. I wasn't particularly interested in golf.
And
the way I got into golf, interestingly enough, I was into sailing. And when I met my wife about 25 years ago, you know, we started going out in the winter. She said to me one day, she said, "So what do you do in the summer?" And I told her, she said, "Oh, I hate sailing." Like, she came from a golf family. She introduced me to the game of golf. We went out, you know, one day she said, "Do you want to go play golf?" And I said, "Sure, I'll give it a try." And she said, "Well, my dad has an extra set of clubs. He said you can borrow them."
Love it.
So I borrowed his clubs, and then she says, "Okay, well, did you like that?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, my dad said if you want to leave those in your trunk for about a week, you may."
Oh, I love it. Okay.
It was like swim right up, fish.
Yeah, okay, keep those in the trunk. I love it. And so I'm reading more about how actually the wheels started turning with your book. Your wife introduced you to golf, and then a trip to Pebble Beach in 1992 for your birthday. Talk about that experience, and what was the aha moment, you know, with, hey, I think I'm starting to get a hang of this.
Yeah. The aha moment about playing the top 100 was I was standing on the tee box at number 18. And my caddy looked at me and he said, "You know, you are standing on the tee box of the greatest finishing hole in all of golf."
Wow.
And there was something about that statement, Jasmine, that just resonated with me. And as I walked up the fairway, I could feel like I was walking in the spike marks of, you know, of Palmer and Nicklaus.
Oh, wow.
All the greats. And when I got up to the green, I thought, boy, I'm going to toss my ball to a little kid. And I'm going to go to the scorer's tent and get interviewed by Johnny Miller. Of course, none of that stuff really happened.
Yeah.
But it was still this very powerful emotional experience for me. And so the next day, I wanted to recreate that.
Okay.
And I said to my wife, I said, "Annie, you know, I think I want to go play the top 100. She looked at me and said, "You're out of your mind." Which I probably am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's been the theme was more.
I love it. And for all those, you know, non-golf enthusiasts, but hopefully by listening to this interview and the show, we'll start to be a little intrigued. Share with the listeners what is, you know, the America, the Golf Digest Top 100 courses, and you know, how did that come about?
Well, there are several publications now that do these Top 100 lists. 100,
okay.
Top 100 public, Top 100 you can play, Top 100 under all kinds of lists. But Golf Digest is the granddaddy of them.
Mm.
And in this case, most of them are private. Some of them are extremely private.
Mm.
In fact, some of them are private enough, Jasmine, that they'd probably rather take down the name of their club, the sign on the front, and put up just a sign that says, go away. But that's the kind of places they are. So, like, in your L.A. area, for example, it would be places like L.A. Country Club, Riviera, you know, it's Augusta National, it's, you know, those kind of places. And of all these, I'd say 15, maybe 20% of them are public or public access, you know, if you call Pebble Beach public, which it is, you know, it just costs a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely love that. And so a 10-year quest, a 10-year journey, and you conquered the Golf Digest list of America's top 100 courses. I want to go specifically, and, you know, you're putting it together, you're conquering these courses, and unfortunately, there was something that halted you in 2006. You're almost done with the book. The development's coming together. And you suffered a near fatal injury in a bicycle incident. Larry, talk about that. And, you know, how did that really change things for you with the book, with really your outlook on every day?
Okay. I'll talk to you about that in a second. But first, I want to tell you that when I set out to do this, I had no intention of writing a book. Purpose, it was just purely recreational, and the real question is, you know, how did I get on all these places?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it was usually a friend of a friend. One good example I like to give is one that called my cousin, who lived in L.A. at the time, oddly enough.
Okay.
Who called his cousin on the other side of the family, who lived in Baltimore. She talked to her husband. He called his uncle.
Wow.
That uncle was my host at the Baltimore Country Club.
Wow.
So it was a lot of telephoning, but I also, as email came into existence, I started this email list where I would write up like a page or a page and a half. Here was my experience at Augusta. Here was my experience at L.A. North. And I'd send them off to people, and people would write me back, and they'd say, oh, we love these stories. Don't ever take us off your list, and you should write a book.
Love it.
And so it was actually well after I sold my business that I decided to take a shot and, you know, actually write this book and compile it.
I love it. I love it.
So in that process, what you just asked me about was I had a really nasty bicycle accident. There was, I don't know how to tell you what happened because there was nobody, all I can tell you is there was nobody else involved.
Mm.
I know I went over on my head and I ended up in the hospital with subdural hematoma, and I was in the hospital for 8 weeks, and it was probably as close to a near-death experience as I ever want to have.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm definitely glad that you are healed, you are all right, and you were able to complete the book. And, you touched upon this a little bit about, you know, the things that you've learned in your experiences. I looked on the section in your website that said just, you know, things I learned. And, you know, you shared with the listeners, you're sharing in your book what you learned along the way. And one of the things that popped out to me is that golf is a metaphor of life. Please, you know, elaborate with that, because that really popped out and really stuck to me.
You know, a lot of things I find, if you think about it, are metaphors for life. But golf especially is. You know, golf is one of these things. First of all, it's a very social game.
Mm.
Not anti-social, like a lot of team games.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
a game that you play completely by yourself, so that, you know, or you're relying completely on yourself, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, everything has to be self-driven, which is exactly what life is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, nobody attains success in life because they... You know, because they didn't do anything, because they were sitting on the bench, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's also a game where we call all the rules on ourselves. So it's self-policed or it's self-refereed, as opposed to, you know, most team games where everybody's trying to, you know, push the envelope of the rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you sure you saw me do that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So those are just a few
Yes.
That aspect.
Yes, that's why I will be taking up some lessons immediately. So many business transactions, and especially with me being in sports and entertainment, it just makes complete sense for me to be on there with the green with the fellas, learning about golf and, you know, closing some deals. So I couldn't agree with you more. Larry Burley, A Golfer's Dream, How Regular Guy Conquered the Golf Digest List of America's Top 100 Courses. I am very excited to get my hands on this book. And you know what? Please share with the listeners, you know, why this would be a great holiday gift for the women to buy, their golf men fans, and also for a young lady or someone that wants to learn more about golf and really these fantastic legendary courses that we hear on television that the best of the best have walked. You know, why should we pick up this book, Larry?
Right. Well, this is not a book that describes all the golf courses. It has a lot of golf course pictures. It's all narrative. So it's basically, you know, how did I accomplish this goal? So a lot of it is about, you know, going after a long-term goal and sticking with it over a 10-year period, you know, even when there's ups and downs going with it. A lot of it is about networking. You know, how did I lay out my network in order to get myself invited onto some of these very exclusive places?
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, it seems like almost every time I do radio interviews, I'd say 70 or 80%, even when I'm on sports talk shows, 70 or 80% of the orders that I get come from women who are saying, either I'm a golfer and I'm buying this for myself, but in more cases, I'm a golfer and I'm buying this for my husband or my boyfriend or, or my father or someone who really loves the game.
Absolutely.
You know, playing the top 100 to people who are passionate about golf is a big deal. It's like mountain climbers climbing the seven summits.
Ah, I see. I see. Well, it makes complete sense for us women and also just the sports fans and those that want to be inspired to get their hands on the book. Well, Larry, please share with the listeners where we can learn more about you and, of course, order the book.
Okay. There's a website. It's golfersdreambook.com. Golfers is plural. Golfersdreambook.com.
Okay.
It's also available at Amazon. And for any of your readers or any of your listeners, I should say, that have Kindles, if they go to Amazon, they can buy it on the Kindle.
Ooh.
And for those that have iPads, it isn't in the iTunes store, but if you go to the App Store, you can get a Kindle app, and then you can go to Amazon and download it through the Kindle store.
Oh.
Those are all the possibilities, but the best is golfersdreambook.com.
Absolutely. So many ways to access this fantastic book, Mr. Larry Burley, the author of A Golfer's Dream, How Regular Guy Conquered the Golf Digest List of America's Top 100 Courses. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that was fantastic. Shout out to Larry Burley. Thank you so much for coming on the show. He's fantastic.
Yeah!
Now, Larry said I had a Cadillac voice. I don't know what that means. Can anyone tell me what a Cadillac voice is? I'll take it. I'll take it all the way to the bank, baby. Really, what is a Cadillac voice? 714-816-4766. Call me. You know, something that I really appreciate about this show is about the space God has me in, is about where I am, is I'm the boss, I'm the CEO and whatnot, and so I say what comes and goes and whatnot on the show. And me and one of my senior producers, Tommy, he has been researching just different sports that aren't very mainstream, that might be on the radar. And so we're putting together this wide world of sports segment. And you know what? I think, why not? I think it's time to break it out. Ladies and gentlemen, the wild world of sports. The first sport, the first under the radar game that we're going to talk about, it's not badminton, it's not archery, but it's beer pong. What? Hell yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to bring on the show one of my fellow co-hosts for the show Game Time, who also schooled me on beer pong last week when we were taping, Mr. Corey Sandoval. Corey, what's up, bro?
Hello. Hey. Oh, look at all my fans out there. All my fans are cheering for me. There they are.
Corey, hi. What's up, bro?
Yeah. Hey, what's up? Nothing much. Doing good. How about you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for coming on. I know when we were like about to tape the show, we were talking about beer pong, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Because I think, oh, you know what? I think we started. I said, hey, are you coming to my event next week? And you were like, no, I'm going to like this, you know, crazy event where I can win like $25,000. So we're going to get into that a little bit, Corey. But, bro, please tell me, like, how did you, first of all, how did you start playing beer pong? And then, like, when did you know, wait a minute, I'm pretty good. Share with the listeners.
Well, first of all, you know, I started playing, you know, when I was, you know, I started playing in college when, you know,
yeah.
you see at the parties, everyone was playing and stuff like that. So party rules a little bit different. And then I started getting to the scene a little bit more, and I went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I saw one day that they had a poster for a beer pong tournament. And, you know, I was pretty good. So, you know, why not? I used to play with my friends all the time. I used to beat them. So I went to a tournament. And, you know, I went and I got second place the very first time I ever went. And the rules are a lot different, though. The tournament's like this, so you play for cash, and you play in there's also, you know, the main tournament, the World Series of beer pong, and that's played in Vegas. So tournaments like that, they're a lot different than the party rules. You know, party rules, you have the elbow rule, and you can bounce it in for two cups, swat it away, stuff like that. Well, the party rules are a lot different, or the tournament rules are a lot different, and you can lean over the table. And there's no bonuses, so once you make a cup, the cup automatically comes out. So it was pretty new to me, but you know, I started playing like that more often, and then probably about this past April, I started playing, you know, fairly often every week at a local bar in Corona. It's called Rack.
Okay.
And so that's where I usually play at over there. That's where, like, the main group of guys that I hang out with and play beer pong every week for cash. We play for tournaments for cash. Yeah.
I personally wouldn't know, you know, because I don't drink. My mom's listening. Hey, Jerry George. So I wouldn't know about the elbow rule, but, you know, for people that don't know about the elbow rule, what is that?
Yeah. Usually at parties or stuff like that or house rules, there's an elbow rule, meaning you cannot lean across, your elbow cannot cross the table when you're shooting.
Oh.
But when you're playing in tournaments like this, usually the rules are different, and you can lean over the table. Your elbow can cross, just as long as you're not leaning on the table. So, like, technically, if you're taller, you have a height advantage. But, you know, if you're good enough, you can hold your own. So,
and
you
then
know.
Party rules, okay, you've got, like, how many cups? Is there, like, a set rule for as many cups?
Usually, in tournaments, it's 10 cups.
Okay.
If you're playing a normal game of beer pong, it's usually 10 cups, yes.
10 cups. Okay, so 10 cups, you got the ping pong ball. You know, boom, you throw it in the... Okay, I'm not going to fake the front. Jerry George, I know you're listening. I played beer pong, okay? I'm just going to put it out there. I know she's listening. But anyway, so you get, what, two tries or one try?
Yes, there's actually, if you're playing a singles match, you would have two throws. Normally, beer pong is played with a partner. So there's two people on each team, and each of you get one throw. Yeah.
Okay.
And then if you make it in, there's different rules, but like for tournament purposes, since we're going to be plugging this in, the tournament way that we play is if you both make it, you'll get one ball back, and one person gets the shot. And after that, your turn's over, and the other team gets to shoot.
Okay, now, Corey, you're pretty swole. You're a former football player. You're pretty buff. Does the muscles hurt or hinder you because you can't put your arm down to get in there? How does the muscles help you?
I'm going to say they help me because they intimidate my opponents.
Oh.
So that it works for defense.
Okay. So you make sure you wear like tank tops. You just wear tank tops.
I make sure I wear medium shirts.
Tight-fitting
medium shirts.
I love it. But just say your name on the front, Corey.
Yep.
I'm Corey Sandoval, and you're not.
And you're not.
And you're not. All right. So.
Yep.
Okay. The crazy big tournament in Vegas. You can win, like, how much?
Okay, the World Series of Beer Pong is January 1st to the 5th, and that's hosted by B-Pong. You can go on bpong.com. First place is $50,000.
Okay. What?
$50,000 for first place.
Sign me up.
And that's a giant check written out to your team. It's $50,000 for your team if you get first place. Last year, there was over 500-plus teams there.
Okay.
I think the top 16 teams get paid out. And that's in Vegas. The top 16 teams get money, but first place is $50,000.
Okay. So that's in January. Which one is the big one that's going to take place next week?
Now, locally,
you're in it, right?
Yes. Locally, here in Southern California, we have
okay.
we have various leagues that mm-hmm. for instance, my league that I play in with all you know the group of guys that I play with, we're called Ocean Grown Pong. You can find us on Facebook, and there's in the high desert. If you live in the high desert, you can also check out the High Desert Beer Pong League. San Diego has the San Diego Beer Pong Circuit, and there's this local tournament at different local bars, you know, in the area. So this big tournament you're talking about is our first annual West Coast Championship. So we actually have a team, and this is at RAX in Corona, and this one is going to be $125 a team, and first place it's a $5,000 tournament. So it means $5,000 is split between the top six teams. So first place gets $2,600 plus free entry into the $50,000 tournament in Vegas.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So
yeah.
All right. You know what? You have a chance to get some serious cashola. I won't be mad at you for missing my event next year.
$2,600 for first place.
Woo!
And we're always looking for new people to come out and hang out with us. So for our league, it's called OGP, Ocean Grown Pong, like I said. We're based out of Riverside. And we play every Monday and Wednesday night at this location called RAX. And but on Monday nights it's free to play. It's free entry. And what happens is the losers of the game buys the winning team a pitcher of beer, and the winner of that tournament you split $100. So it's free to play, and you win $100.
I love it.
You know, so
this is what we'll do. Game time. Yeah.
Yeah. Wednesday nights is basically the same thing. It's just $5 a person, and you know this is a cash payout. So the more teams, the better. So we're always looking for more people to come out and play with us.
I love it. Corey, you're fantastic. Beer Pong, also, of course, our on-field reporter for our show, Game Time. And, of course, you can follow Corey and myself, and as well as Caitlin, on Facebook, Game Time, FB. And, of course, Corey will be tweeting during the Friday night games at Game Time FB. Corey, you're the best. Are you going to be in the studio tomorrow? Or has got you on
Yes,
the
I will.
All right, brother.
I'll be in the studio tomorrow. I have to say one more thing about beer pong, though, real quick.
Sure.
Now, there's a big, you know, obviously the game is called beer pong. So, but I think something that a lot of people don't know is we actually play with water in our club. It's a lot more sanitary, for one, and it's a lot easier. And, you know, but what we do is we buy beer and drink it on the side. So you don't have to technically drink if you want to come out and play with us. You know,
so I can play it and my mom will
appeal to the masses. Yes, you don't have to drink if you don't want to, because there's water in the cups. But we have our beer on the side.
Yeah, and you know what? It is a lot more sanitary because hepatitis is everywhere.
So it's herpes, and that'll come back with you. I'm glad your segment is called, you know, the sports. It's a sports segment because, you know, it's a lot of people. Beer pong is becoming a sport.
That's right. I mean, you guys are winning cash in these tournaments. I mean, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Wide World of Sports, man. That's what I'm talking about. Well, listen, when you guys win next week and when you guys win the whole shebang in January, we're going to get you guys back on the show. We're going to celebrate, and it's going to be fantastic. Brother, I'll see you tomorrow on the show. Corey Sandoval.
Thank you for having me.
Woo-hoo!
Bye. Bye.
Did I hang up on him? Oh, Corey, call me back if I hang up on you. Now, listen, that was fantastic. Hey. It's not always about football and basketball and baseball and hockey. Let's talk about beer pong. Let's talk about badminton. Hell, let's talk about tap dancing. Female Phil Guy, we cover it all. When we come back from the break, sports and entertainment, it's such a beautiful marriage. It's like fluid. It's fantastic. And you know what? Darren George is going to be on the show. Never a dull moment. When we return, Female Phil Guide, we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Al Caravelli, head coach of the United States National Rugby Sevens team. Jasmine's doing a great job with it. Make sure you pick up the Women's Field Guide.
That's right. Or the Female Field Guide.
Make sure you pick up the Female Field
there
Guide.
There it is.
So rugby, for people who don't know, is basically the Michael Jordan of rugby.
My name is Matt Holkins. I'm with the USA Sevens team. I'm the captain, and I love listening to the Female Field Guide.
There's a tongue in your bed. You better be scared. That's it for now. My new CD is coming out. It's called In Your Bed.
In Your Bed?
In Your Bed, In Your Face.
This is Miles Kregel. Female Field Guy. So, how are you liking rugby so far this weekend at the Olympic Training Center?
Well,
thanks, Miles, for interviewing me. I really appreciate it. I'm really kind of nervous. But it's been really cool. I've definitely fallen in love with the sport rugby. I can't understand why USA hasn't, you know, embraced this sport, but I'm going to do all that I can to talk about rugby every single time I'm on the show.
Our ambassador, we like that.
Yeah, Female Field Guide Ambassador. I'm having a good time.
Well, we're going to wrap up with the Female Field Guide. Thanks for tuning in and check in weekly.
8 p.m.
8 p.m.
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Female Fall Guy.
Female Fall Guy. And you can reach her on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube,
Tumblr.
And Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Hit her up on twitter.com/femalefailguy. Holla.
Woo! Good.
Welcome back to the show. Have you enjoyed yourself? Because I have. We are going on 90 minutes already. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Beer pong, golf, basketball, WNBA? Oh, gosh. But you know what? Nothing like sports and entertainment. And nothing like bringing a comedic spin. Everything that's going down in the sports and entertainment world. So let's go ahead and let's kick open this sports and entertainment spin. Did y'all hear about that?
You hear about that?
Like I said, sports and entertainment, a fantastic marriage, a beautiful blendage, and a cocktail that I like to call Female Field Guide. And you know what? Next week, this guy's going to be on the MIC the entire night, 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. at the Female Field Guide 1 Year Jam. My big bro, actor, comedian, writer, producer, Jaren George. Hey, Rick!
Hey. It just got real up in here. It just got real.
Bro, so speaking of real, you just got off the MIC. Where were you at doing your stand-up?
Just got off. Well, most Sundays I'll be at the Unurban Cafe in Santa Monica, 3301 Pico Boulevard. Show starts at 6. It's a real laid-back, kickback type of show. Come back, get yourself some chai tea, and get a chuckle or two. What more could you want?
Oh, wow. Oh.
You know?
Have you ever had chai tea?
Not without bourbon. But listen, beer pong. Now, this is a sport that I can get behind.
That's why I make
more
sure for...
Do more shows about that. Little did I know, but I've been training hard for this sport since I was 19, man. I'm ready.
Jaren,
I'm ready.
19, 15.
Did you say 15?
Yeah. I know Mom's listening, but come on, okay?
Come on. Let's be real.
Let's be real. Yeah, that's why I made sure that Corey's segment was before yours, so I knew that you'd be able
Thank
to hear
you.
A little bit of beer pong and all that
and
good stuff.
And he's excited about his beer pong. He is pumped.
He's the same way on our show on Game Time. He's the on-field reporter. He's fantastic. So I knew that he would bring it tonight, and especially talking about beer pong. He's a good guy. You guys definitely click because beer is at the forefront of your lives. So listen,
we already have plenty in common. All right.
Listen, let's talk sports and entertainment, okay?
Let's do it.
There's been some crazy things going down. One in particular, we have to lead in with this story. We're both Diamond Bar Brahmas, and we're also fans of Snoop Dogg. You can't lose. Snoop Dogg's two sons, one's a freshman and one's a senior. They transferred from Long Beach Poly to Diamond Bar High School to play football under the tutelage
Whoa,
of our
boy.
Friend, Ryan Mayne. Brosif?
Nice.
What's your thoughts about that?
I think they should have gone to Del Paso Continuation School like me, and they would have really been hard.
Jaren,
they would have really been hardcore.
I think they're already hardcore.
There was a riot the day before I got there.
I think I remember that with the black and Latino homies, right?
Yeah. I jumped right into all that. Hey, what's happening? But you know what? I spread the love around. That's what I do, Jazz, and there was peace.
I remember you dancing at Summer Jam. I was there.
Yeah, that's what I do. I bring joy.
So I think it should be good. I talked to Maine, and he said that, you know, the young men who I think will definitely make an impact, you know, from the jump, they don't want to be treated any differently. And I'm going to try to catch their game. I think the next home game is like the week after mine. So I believe it's the 28th of October. So I'll be there checking them out, Female Field Guide, and I think that's pretty cool. So, and Snoop always had a house out here in the country.
Yeah, yeah. And let me tell you, if they have a hankering for Asian girls, they are going to be in heaven. Anyway.
Moving on. The next story. Jeez Louise. Deion Sanders, primetime Hall of Famer. Cornerback. Deion says he is filing for divorce from his wife of many years, Pilar, who is gorgeous. He says, you know, Pilar wanted to do another reality show. She was like the Shawnee of Football Wives, and it was kind of a bust. And I guess she's been in the works and talking to do another reality show. And Deion says, quote, you know, I didn't marry a reality TV star. I wanted a housewife. But here's the thing, Brooke, before I get your opinion, they had a reality show, just them two. So what the hell's going on? Your thoughts?
Well, talk about your high standards. I mean, what is this dude looking for? An angel? Like an actual angel? Or a woman made out of diamonds? What does he want? Like, because I got to be honest with you, Chaz. A woman that fine, I'd put up with a lot. I would.
Like what?
I'd sit her down and be like, listen, Pilar, I didn't like the way that you slapped my mom at the dinner table on Thanksgiving. Could you just try to – listen, I know you're stressed out, so I'm not going to play the blame game, but just try to work on it, all right? Don't slap her on major holidays, okay? All right, well, think about it while I'm soaping you up in the shower, all right? That's me. That's me. I don't know.
Soaping her up in the shower. I'm glad the show is, you know, late night because –
late night. What did I say in the beginning? It's going to get real.
It is real. Speaking of real – I think Serena Williams has gone a little country. It seems that she is rumored to be dating Jake Owens. He's 30 years old. He actually had he's a country music star, and he had a top-selling single. You ready for the title? Matter of fact, I'm going to turn the music off for this. His title is Barefoot Blue Jean Night. Your thoughts on Serena dating a cowboy. Hit it.
Well, I would like to get your thought. If somebody invited you to something called Barefoot Blue Jean Night as a black woman, do you think that's something you'd be comfortable attending?
I would be lynched. No, thank you.
Well, because my thing is like, it's just, okay, I'm going to say it. It's weird, all right? I know it's not PC, but it's weird. How
awkward.
Did they meet? Did her limo driver get lost on the way back from the ESPYs and end up in Tennessee or somewhere? Well, how does that happen? Like, Match.com wouldn't even have put those two together. Like if they both had profiles on Match.com, they would never see each other's profile. You know what I'm saying?
0% match.
What? I mean, hey, if you just got time and, hey, let's try something new.
Honestly,
you know, why not?
He's really handsome, though. But
oh, the real comes out.
It does come out. I went to Dunbar High School.
I'll tell you what, if Pilar asked me to go to Barefoot Blue Jean Night, I would go. I would go with her.
I know you would. Listen, speaking of somebody that I think may be at a Barefoot Blue Jean Night, Ron Artest, I'm sorry, a.k.a. Metal World Peace, his partner, Kimsha, or wife, or boo, I don't know what they're calling each other these days, she got kicked off of Basketball Wives LA. She hasn't been on for like 4 episodes, and she's pissed. She went on a tirade. She started bad-mouthing Shawnee because Shawnee is the executive producer for all Basketball Wives franchises. But Shawnee says, I'm not a part of the process of hiring or firing. Two things. I want to get your response and your opinion. And do you really think Shawnee had nothing to do with kicking Kimsha off, bro?
No, of course not. If you're the producer and somebody's getting kicked off your show, of course you had something to do with it. It's you know, it goes back to you. But I think Ron Artest's wife has her priorities in the wrong place. Like, she's not happy with Shawnee, but she needs to not be happy with her husband being insane. Like, let's worry about your husband wearing a top hat and a basketball jersey to the club, you know? Let's start at home. Let's get him on some strong medication, and then we'll worry about all the other stuff.
I agree, because he filed for the paperwork without consulting her.
Of his name?
She didn't know. Like TMZ told her.
She was watching TMZ, like, who is that?
There it is. Bro, sis.
Oh, my gosh.
This is just a snippet of what's going to go down next week. This is just a sample. MC host, you'll be on the MIC. I'm a little nervous because I'm not quite sure what you're going to say about my childhood. But the mic is yours next week.
Listen, Jazz, I didn't want to choose this forum to tell you this, but I'm not going to make it down there. I found out there's an Oktoberfest celebration across the street, and I don't know what's going to be happening at yours, but if it's not free-flowing alcohol and drunken, big-breasted white women, I'm not going to make it anyway.
Bro, Sif, what else do you have on tap? Yes, you're going to be the host and MC of My Jam next week, but what can the fans and listeners look forward to with Jarence George?
Well, I'm going to be performing this Thursday at a spot called the Bomb Shelter at the Hollywood Hotel.
Oh.
That's 1160 North Vermont. Starts out around 8. Real funny host, John Silver. I've worked with him for a while. He's a real cool guy. That's what I got going on. I am writing, and I just finished co-directing the first episode of a new web series coming out called Covert. It's not comedy. It's all action, like 24, Bourne Identity type of stuff. It's really putting a lot of work to it. Sean Lawless, co-director, talented guy, my cousin. So I got a lot of stuff cooking in the pot.
Yeah.
About to stir it up and it's about to get ready, so it's going to be good.
2012, it's going to get really real. Would you say that it has, similarities to Manelevance?
Yes, let's do more inside jokes that just me and you know while all these people are listening. And
the answer is
hell no. just to answer your question, though.
No. Okay. Well, that's
absolutely
good. So
not.
I think I may actually watch it. Thanks, Brosif. we'll be supporting you next week. Of course, we'll be filming the event. Shout out to Animosity Pictures and Jimmy. So you'll be able to see the crazy shenanigans that Jarence is going to come up with next week at my one-year jam. Brosif, once again, thank you for coming on the show. Jarence George,
thank
everybody.
Thank you. It's going to be fun. See you later.
Yeah. We have been rocking and rolling tonight, and it doesn't stop. It really doesn't stop. Sports, entertainment, beer pong, WNBA, NBA. What about hockey? What a lot of people don't know is that the hockey season is pretty much in line date-wise with the NBA. But the NBA is so polarizing, people are like, what the puck? Where's hockey? That's where Tommy comes in, one of my senior producers for the show. Let's jump right into our What the Puck segment, huh? Let's do it.
What the Puck?
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
Terrible.
Here we go.
Terrible.
What the Puck?
Tommy, how you
doing?
Oh,
man, I love that theme song.
Tommy Mahoney. On the MIC, yes. Thomas, we're going to talk some hockey.
Sounds good.
The season is underway. Of course, with every new season, I like to give my girls kind of a refresher course about the sports. Hockey doesn't have a lockout. So, ladies and gents, I think you should go ahead and give hockey a chance, myself included. Go to some games and watch some games, right?
I agree. You have it's on TV. You can go see it live.
That's right. And some are at the Staples Center too, right? Kings.
Right at the Staples Center, exactly.
If you want to get your Staples Center fixed. Now, Tommy, remind me, how many teams are in the NHL?
The NHL has 30 teams. 7 are in Canada and the rest in the U.S.
Interesting. I wonder if they were, what is that, a Canadian tuxedo?
A Canadian, there's plenty of Canadians. There's plenty of mullets. There are mullets. See, even the president, if you're a member, commented on how sharp Patrick Kane's mullet looked. I mean, you don't hear the president saying that Derek Rose has a sharp mullet. You know,
that's right.
I mean,
Hey, I mean,
and
you know
what? More of a reason to go see hockey.
That's right. We talk about it on the show. Anything that has to do with mullets, I am all in now.
Exactly.
Tom, the season's underway. The Boston Bruins won the whole shebang last year. But share with me and share with the listeners who are some teams to watch and who are the teams to beat coming into the season.
Well, a lot of usual suspects this year. I think Vancouver last year. They're definitely in the running for it this year. Boston, you can't count them out. I mean, they're probably not a favorite to repeat, but they're in there. You got Washington, Pittsburgh, even without Crosby, is doing really well. And just to give the fans in Southern California something to be excited about, you have the Kings in LA and the Ducks in Anaheim. Both looking to be pretty good and exciting this year. So.
That's right. Shout out to our new friend of the show, Mr. Luke Robitaille. He's fantastic. Had a chance to meet him, get some autographs, and we're going to be doing some collaborations and hopefully get Tommy in there to cover some Kings games in the season. So it's looking really, really good for Female Field Guide for the LA Kings. Tommy, I promise you we're going to go to a game, whether it's from Female Field Guide or just us going. Listeners,
absolutely.
Hold me accountable. I'm going to a hockey game this year. Scouts honor.
All right. You have till March.
Okay.
And then the playoffs start after that, so, you know.
Plenty of time. Okay. Now, what about the Kings, since that's the game I'll probably be going to? Name, you know, who are some players that, you know, fan favorites from the LA Kings?
Well, over the offseason, they picked up Mike Richards from Philadelphia. He's contributing a lot in scoring. They also picked up Simon Gagné. I believe he was from Tampa. He's going to contribute a lot of scoring as well. Players who have been there already, they have a lot of young players that are really good, and they're just going to get better. Like Andre Kopitar, he's one of the fan favorites. He's I think he has about three or four goals in 5 games now or something like that.
Oh, wow.
He's really good. In goal, you have Jonathan Quick. He's pretty good, too. It's a really young team. Well, not really young, but, I mean, it's a younger team, and they're really talented, and they're really exciting, and a lot more locked up for a few years. So
I like it.
Chance for
longevity and some growth. You think they're gonna, come out of the West strong, make it to the playoffs? I know, like, they've only had like 3 or 4 games, but what are your thoughts and their projections on the season?
Yeah, well, the past couple of years, I think 2 years ago was the first time, probably in 10 years, they made the playoffs, and they made it again last year. Unfortunately, both of those years they were knocked out in the first round.
Yeah.
This year, if things go right, I mean, they could go into the playoffs quite a bit. I don't know. You know, it's too early for me. I don't really like predictions this early in the season.
Especially because it's recorded, so I get to play it back just in case you're absolutely wrong, Tommy. All right.
Well, I won't be wrong. The Kings will make it into the playoffs, and they will do well in the playoffs. I have no problem predicting that.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, of course,
in California, you have some exciting hockey to watch, so.
Okay, and when we be there, and like I said, I'll watch them. Now, of course, you are my So What Sundays, guys, random fun facts. Are there any hockey fun facts you want to throw me and the listeners before we go?
All right, well, you know, I also like baseball. Baseball and hockey are my two favorite sports. So
that's
I have one
right.
that kind of combines them both. You know, with the World Series coming up, that signifies the end of the baseball season. Hockey is just starting. So I'm going to kind of bridge that gap, or if that's even the right term for it. But here's So What Sunday that what do the Montreal Canadiens and the San Diego Padres have in common?
Montreal and San Diego. What?
All right, these are the only two teams in the major professional North American sports that do not have English in their names.
Say what? Tommy Mahoney.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. I
thought
you liked that one.
Oh, my God. Don't have any. I like your style. And that's why you never know what the hell you're going to get with Tommy. We'll talk sports, but then we'll get the most random fact that you cannot get out of your head for 2 weeks. And that fun fact will be in my head tomorrow. I can guarantee it. Tommy, we will be there next week working hard, celebrating, and we'll talk some hockey. Thanks again for coming on the show, my friend. Tommy Mahoney,
senior
and marketing guru, Female Field Guide. Thanks, brother.
Anytime.
All right. You know, I'm super excited, like I said, about next week, about the one-year anniversary, and I want to give a shout-out, of course, to Powerade. They are one of my sponsors, but guess what? My other really big sponsor, Zenforce Media, they are the fantastic company that designed my app, the Female Field Guide app. Hello, do you have it? Have you downloaded it for your Android or iPhone? Oh, you don't have it? I'll wait. I'll wait for you to download it. Still waiting. Anyway, of course, as a sponsor spotlight, I have to give shout-outs to Zenforce Media, to Coach, and we had a chance to sit down and talk for a few minutes, you know, about Zenforce Media, and they've got a lot of things going on with the company, and I'm so happy to be at the forefront and to be a part of it. And here's Coach and I, our just conversation, Zenforce Media, Billy Carson, the CEO and head man, and of course, the creator and designer of the Female Field Guide app, and here's what Coach and I had to say.
Female Field Guide exclusive. So excited. We are 1 week out of the Female Field Guide one-year anniversary jam, and so appreciative to be on the phone with one of our sponsors, Coach Carson of Zenforce Media. All that you have going on, and you guys that are listening better have that Female Field Guide app on your iPhone or Android phone, or I am going to end the show right now. Just kidding. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm really happy to have you back. We're going to talk so much about, you know, just what Zenforce Media, what you guys have become in my life as Female Field Guide. But now I just want to say, of course, thank you to being a part of, you know, the app. But I want to just learn more about Zenforce Media and everything that you guys are providing to all of your clients and customers.
Oh, most definitely. And we're more than happy to be a part of the Female Field Guide. I mean, you guys are one of our very first Blog Talk Radio mobile app.
Yeah.
There have now been two more.
Love
very
it.
Excited customers on Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
Yeah, so that's going pretty good. And, you know, Zenforce Media is a DBA of She Can Play and He Can Play. It's a nonprofit. It's part of our nonprofit corporation. It's under our umbrella.
Okay.
Back in the 90s, as I told you last year, I started an internet marketing company.
Yeah.
And I built it up pretty big, and I sold it to a publicly traded company, and you know, took some time off. Well, my non-compete had expired, so I decided to get back into internet marketing, web development, e-commerce, and of course, with the new cutting edge of the mobile apps. So I formulated Zenforce Media, you know, our whole objective was to come out with affordable marketing for businesses, especially in the stuff economy.
Absolutely, and it's so unique because it's outside of the box. You think, you know, you watch on TV and you see, okay, the NFL mobile app, you know, NBA, but never can you specialize something to a particular person, product, organization, you know, on a smaller scale. And that's what I really love about Zenforce Media. And you have the mobile apps, but, of course, I am very excited to learn that you guys design websites. Also, tell us a little bit more about how that came about out of the mobile apps.
Yeah, definitely. We had done that before in the past, and kind of what happened is when we started doing mobile apps, a lot of clients would say, like you said, yo, what about a website? We need a website redesign. Some people's websites now are 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And a lot of people want not only a redesigned website, but they also want a mobile version of their website for people who are served to their website through a mobile phone who may not have the app.
Absolutely.
So you know, there's a lot of big need here, so we need to go ahead and get that started back up, too. So we went on and got our design crew back online, and now we're back designing, you know, very nice, high-quality websites. We have been doing it for ourselves, but for clients, now we just started that back up maybe about 3 months ago.
I love it. And, of course, I love the timing that I just stumble upon things with you, Coach, because I'm happy because very soon we're going to be having things up and running, hopefully maybe before right when 2012 kicks in. But femalefieldguide.com in conjunction with Zenforce Media, I'm super excited to be a part of this process again. And, you know, tell some of the listeners about some other mobile apps in the Zenforce Media family that I've been learning about and happy to be under that hub as well. Tell us about some of the other mobile apps that you guys have out.
Sure, definitely. One of our most successful apps right now is the Kelvin Taylor app. He's the son of Fred Taylor. I know he's very difficult to see on the phone, but Fred played for the Patriots and also the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. His son is a dynamic player in South Florida, Central Florida almost. He's in the Glades area.
Mm-hmm.
He's breaking records that probably will, and the records he's accumulating right now maybe never be caught in his position.
Wow.
And his app has just exploded him onto the market, onto the scene. When he had like three or four schools that had given offers as a 10th grader,
wow.
Now has, I think, close to maybe 10 or 12 major D1 school offers right now. A lot more people can see him, track him. He's had over 100 articles
wow.
Done on him and his app since the app was released.
I love it.
He's been on the front page of Yahoo Sports. 3 days ago, me and him were on the full page of the Sun Sentinel News.
Love it.
Which was a full page, which was incredible. I didn't even know it was there until somebody called me and said, hey, man, you're on the full page.
Of yeah. I love it.
I was like, I am? So that was pretty cool. So his app is doing fantastic things for him. And then we have another gentleman named Javon Shashadi.
Mm.
He's a quarterback for Calvin Christian High School.
Mm.
And his dad actually saw that ad, contacted me, and I built his son an app. His son has 7 records in Florida
wow.
for yardage and throws. He's a quarterback.
Oh.
And some of his records will never be beaten as a quarterback in Florida for high school football.
I love it.
But the thing is, because he's only 6'1" and 160 pounds, he had no major offers.
Mm.
So we dropped the app, and he's got 3 D1 offers right now.
There it is. The next Drew Brees.
Yeah. Prospect apps are huge.
I love it.
Off the prospect app trail, we've got things like we did an app for a Vegas company who does sports booking and things like that.
Wow.
Their app has gotten almost 10,000 downloads in 2 months.
Look at that.
They're very excited about that. They're getting a lot of registrations. We've done apps for Dr. Thrower, who was my former doctor. He's been the official Miami Heat dermatologist since the inception of the Miami Heat.
Wow.
His app just dropped, and he has his own product line in Walmart stores. It's called Heritage Skincare.
Hmm.
And actually, I helped produce the infomercial with him a couple of years ago, and I'm actually in the infomercial demonstrating some of the products.
Oh, I love it.
So kind of all came back around again, and now his infomercial's on the app. So you want to see Coach Carson taking a shave on the Heritage Skincare products. Download the Dr. Thrower app. It's Heritage Skincare on Android and iTunes. And he's very, very excited about that. It's a very interactive app. It teaches a lot.
Yeah.
It really goes into talking a lot about the skin and how to care for the skin. So you get a lot of free information in there, too. And the second that it drops, the customer base is just eating it up, like, almost immediately. So that's another 5-star app. We got so many different range of apps.
Yeah.
We've got Holly Davidson. Your Terrapin, believe it or not, there's a Bales Bonds app now.
I love it.
Bales Bonds app ever. Vegas Bales Bonds or Goodfellas Bales Bonds on Vegas. I'm sorry. His app is just absolutely going bonkers. Believe it or not, who would ever thought of Bales Bonds app? But he contacted me and we made it for him and he loves it.
I'm saying,
a lot of customers out of it.
You know what? Hey, when you got to bail out Pookie and them, you got to get, you got to find out. You got, where can I bail them out? I love it. It's such a diverse company in what you do. I mean, there's nothing that you won't do. The radio show, Blog Talk Radio, bail bonds, player prospects, and, of course, website development. Coach, please let the listeners know. I know there's someone that's listening that said, can I have an app? And since you gave such a diverse range of who you provide apps for, I know that people will be intrigued about how to get in contact with Zenforce Media. Please drop any type of contact information and social networking plugs that how can the people learn more about Zenforce Media?
Sure, definitely. One way is to go to our website, which is www.zenforcemedia.com. That's Zen with the C as in zebra, ZenforceMedia.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get us on Twitter at Zenforce Media and Facebook, Zenforce Media. You can look us up there as well. We have a page there, and you can contact you there, as well as you can also email sales@ZenforceMedia, and we'll definitely get back to you within 24 hours, and
That's right. Coach, thank you so much for ZenForce Media. Billy Carson, I'm so excited to be a part of the ZenForce Media family. Can you believe it? We have about 90 seconds? Can you believe we've got about 90 seconds? I love it. Next week, October 22nd, 8 p.m., Be There, Be Square, Push Boutique Art and Lounge. Oh, my gosh, 1 year anniversary of Female Field Guide. Thank you so much to Ebony Hoffman for calling in, the L.A. Sparks, my senior producers, Tommy and Tamika, my wonderful interns, Ashley and Heaven, Corey, Andre, Larry Burley, the wonderful ladies of Tells Inc., my family, my friends who have supported me. Be sure to check our YouTube page. Animosity Pictures will be filming the event. My next show, I'm going to take a couple weeks off, Sunday, November 6th. I'll be there, be square. God bless all of you. Thank you so much for the support. Another two-hour show. We knocked it out of the ballpark. This is Jasmine George, your female field guide. I couldn't have done anything without you. God bless you. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you soon.
This is Joe Bryant, assistant coach of the L.A. Sparks, also the papa of Kobe Bryant. And I want to say thank you for listening to the Female Field Guide.
Bill Bellamy, you're listening to the Female Field Guide. Hey, yo.